That was weak. That was weak. I blame you, man. It wasn't me. I brought it. I brought the hammies.
I really liked it. I invented
a hamstring transplant live on the air, and the best you could do was, yeah, it's on the house.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
Yes, and not only that, but let's do the quads. Hey, while we're there, we'll do the quads too.
Yeah, two for one.
Isn't that how you do it when you take your car in for brakes? Like, oh yeah, you need a new transmission too.
That is how it works.
Okay. I feel like you're trying to get warmed up for the show.
Stick with the hamstring transplant.
No, you are not getting warmed up for the show.
You're ice cold. No, I'm not. I'm very warm. I just had coffee.
Fine. Okay. Yeah, sure. Hamstring
transplant. I'm doing push-ups right now. Can you hear me?
Hamstring. Yeah, sure. Hamstring.
This is me doing push-ups. Yeah. You can barely tell because I'm so calm when I do push-ups.
Yeah, I'm doing push-ups now.
86.
87. Rain Man doing push-ups over there. Hello and welcome to episode 528 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Let's go. Snowy Vancouver, right, Adam?
Yeah, just happened yesterday. We got snow, and it's cold enough that it stayed, and I think it snowed some more overnight. So, yeah, there actually snow, which is exciting considering this day and age right now, what we're limited in terms of our activities and things to do. I think the whole of our community and probably most of the lower mainland in Vancouver was probably out trying to enjoy the snow. Young, old, anybody. Oh, yeah, it was a snow spectacular yesterday, and I imagine today will be more of the same.
Nice. Now, is it that wet snow that's kind of mopey, or is it, hey, this is powdery fun?
It's probably somewhere in the middle. I mean, it's wet underneath. It's Vancouver and just kind of how it is. But, it's nice and fluffy and, on the surface, and everybody was, out tobogganing in our neck of the woods. And, it was kind of nice to see.
Where do you toboggan in your neck of the woods? It's flat.
Well, it's not great. It's the hill that we went to is, over at Terra Nova where they built the big park. So there's a bit of a hill. Let's call it that. It's steep. But it's not very long.
Okay.
Not very tall. Yeah.
Well, sure. What do you want? Like a full.
But everybody there was a lot of people out there yesterday. That's for sure. I didn't really capture the whole scene. And a lot of people, you know, spread out because it's a pretty big area too. But there was a lot of people. I thought, wow, this is most of Richmond.
What's the mask situation outside?
I'd say I would wager somewhere around 30% outside masks, 30-40% outside masks, and then the rest not. Yeah, most kids not, but there is a fair amount of adults. Yeah,
okay. I was kind of joking. I thought you were going to say zero.
No.
Well, yeah, we had a zero. We've had snow here as well. It's been very snowy and really a huge cold snap. I thought spring had arrived.
It did, like last week for us.
Yeah, same. And so that was what I thought too. That's why one of the pictures I posted, you see the picture of my kids with the no snow, the very first picture there?
Right.
That white balance, I did not mess up that white balance. That is a daylight white balance in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
Yep.
That's what started off the week. That was up, and I was like, wow, why the crazy light? Oh, apparently a massive chunk, I think that's the scientific term, of sand blew up from the Sahara Desert. It sounds like I'm making that up. I am not.
Like, okay.
We had a massive sand storm. Not really storm. It was just in the atmosphere and it caused that crazy red light. But it was nice and warm and we thought, oh, okay. And then 2 days later, kablamo, down came the snow and like a ton of it, right?
Yeah.
Except what never ever happens, except happened this time, is right after the snow fell, the temperature dropped, like just plummeted into like the minus 17 area overnight, which meant fun powder time for the entire week.
Nice.
Very exciting for the kids. So that meant during their homeschool, we're still doing homeschool here because science and not politics. Definitely not politics, Adam.
Right.
I don't know why you even brought that up, but okay. It's not the election that's happening in 4 weeks, zero to do with it.
Right. They've already said that, right?
They said, yeah, they were like, hey, happen. Listen, I know we're all running again in 4 weeks from now. We're running. Just trust me. Any decisions we make, just science. It's not the politics. Promise.
Right. Okay.
Totally promise you. And so the kids were still in the homeschool, and so their new move was like, all right, we're getting up at 7 and going to bust through all our whole day's work by 7:45 so we can get out and play in the snow all day.
Okay.
Which I fully supported, and that's what they did.
Nice. Yeah.
So yeah, good. There you go. Speaking of that, I have a controversial question for you. I don't think it's controversial. I think it's a normal question. Okay. I can't get an answer to it. And I can either ask you on the air or off the air. It's up to you. Because might get canceled.
I want to not talk to you off the air.
Yeah, no. I meant I'll talk to your wife and then pass it on to you.
Okay.
Today's Valentine's Day. I'm pretty sure we got something scheduled.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. So maybe I'll ask you off the air and then we'll see next week if you think I should mention it on the air or not.
Okay. All right. That's disappointing. I just thought you were going to, you know.
Do you want to know? Fire away because I'm not being inflammatory. I would like an answer. And it might get us canceled. It might get us canceled from
great. Internet. Do it. You've said too much already, so let's hear it.
All right. So you've heard of all the variants that are happening, like the mutations of the virus.
Sure. Yeah.
What is one of them? Do you know any of them?
Well, they label them by countries. It's like the UK strain and the one that, and it's again, I think country
not
of
racist,
origin.
Not racist. Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's where they saw it first, right?
Okay, I think right. Where they saw it first. Okay, so the UK one you said. Okay, not racist. What's the next one?
South Africa.
That's not racist. What's the next one?
I don't know. I don't know all that. Those are the first two anyway. Oh yeah, that right. There's Brazil. Yeah.
Not racist.
Right.
The virus itself. The Wuhan virus, racist. I'll sit back. I'll take my answer. Go ahead. Explain to me why. Go ahead.
I don't know, but that's why they call you racist.
You said they name it after the country that it was the origin, not the origin, but where it was first discovered. You said,
right?
Okay. Go ahead. Now it's 5 minutes. Keep it under 5 minutes. Okay.
you're all wound up. Why don't you just tell us what you think?
No, I don't have an answer. I legitimately do not have an answer. I can't solve this for anybody.
Okay.
I really do not understand the hypocrisy. I'm telling you, I'm not winding anybody up. I'm not being inflammatory in this particular case. It's just in a world where we would like some answers. Please, let's just give answers. Let's just say what it is. That's what I would like. Like when we talk about photo stuff and it's like, okay, hey, what aperture would you use in this situation? Do I lie to people?
No.
Hey, is this an F? Is that an F2.8? And I just go, oh, that's racist. Wait, what? Yeah. Oh, no. We don't say the F word. F word. The focal length. We don't say it.
Right.
Yeah. You just, you're out. Don't write me questions.
I see. I've touched a nerve here. Let's move on. Let's go.
Should that have been off the air?
Yeah, probably. But I, you know what? Sorry, everybody. I just didn't want to talk to him after the podcast was over. So that's
everybody else, please let me know. Like point out. I'm not saying I'm racist. I'm not saying that I'm like, oh, I need to have it labeled whatever virus. I don't care what it's labeled. It doesn't matter. It's not going to help me sleep at night.
Okay.
It's not the flag.
Maybe it will.
No. It's all the Xanax does. It's not the hill I'm planting my flag on. The naming of that. What does really rub me is the disingenuity of our society. That's what rubs me.
I hear you.
Okay. So everyone, cut right in. Send Adam an email at his adamschwartz.ca and We'll get to the bottom. I'll forward them all over to the World Health Organization because they keep asking me, hey, Al, what do you think? So, oh, we got a parade outside. I'm not joking. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay, they're playing music out front of my house.
It's not a big parade, I don't think.
Well, of course it's not. It's Corona. It's fashing time. It's the big Mardi Gras thing here.
Yeah. 12 feet apart. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't know what it is. I'm literally the parade itself has been canceled. Should we go see it?
No. Let's move on. We're trying to make this in under 45 minutes, right?
Too late. I think we're at 51 right now. So there's that. Okay, so I'll skip the cold
Amazon.
Snap. Amazon. I didn't even write that down.
I got to keep Amazon. You on track.
What did I buy? Oh yeah, I bought Wasabi. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you told me that.
Then nothing.
Okay, I didn't. Neither did I. But other people should. They should buy stuff.
I can't believe they're playing music right outside my house.
Oh no, you're rattled. You're rattled.
Well, don't you hear? I can't believe you can't hear that.
I can't hear it.
During podcast.
Yeah, didn't they know the schedule?
No, you know who it is. It's the cancellation people. They don't like all this talk about naming of things.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Amazon, click through our site. Help us out. As I said, cold snap here. Oh, that was all part of it. We'll get to that in the shoot anything interesting section.
Okay.
You know what I've been looking at, Adam, besides naming things?
What?
Have you seen the new Fuji XE4?
No.
Okay. We do a photo show here, despite all the talk so far.
Yeah. No, is it good?
It looks good to me. It looks like doesn't look like a pro camera to me. It looks like basically a somewhat stripped down version of the X100 with the ability to interchange lenses.
Okay.
Now, it is definitely a stripped down version. There is no
how expensive is it? Are we talking here?
Not that's the point. It's not. Oh, okay. I think US it's like $800 body only. Maybe call it $899. I don't know. It could be as high as it's under $900.
Okay.
And then you got to get lenses and whatnot. So I'm not in the market for it. I don't think you should buy one. I don't think I should buy one because we already have the greatest camera ever made. But I got to tell you, it looks pretty cool. Like it looks like a pretty awesome camera. Like it would be one that I would suggest to people who are like, hey man, I just want to get one camera. What should I get? I might lean towards that for your average user.
Okay.
The only issue is, as best I can tell, it's not a leaf shutter like the X100, which means its max sync speed is 1/180th of a second.
Yeah.
Which is something I really, really appreciate about the X100 is the ability to sync
not,
much faster.
Not necessarily a deal breaker for most people, though.
For almost everybody, not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still like let's say if you're like a rich lawyer type, like some of our friends.
Sure.
Highly recommend the X100. It's what I would get. It is so good at what it does, and it is so simple to use. If you want it to be simple, it can be complicated if you'd like. If you want to get really, dive in and get under the hood. But for your average Joe who doesn't have money to just burn, I think I would look at the XE4. By the time you get a lens and all that, it's the price wise doesn't look to be too different. Like because you're probably going to get one or two lenses is the idea.
Yeah, I think so. If you want a kind of full kit, right?
Right. So by that point, it's like okay, well, now all of a sudden you're right in that range, but now you have a dedicated like a longer lens, longer focal length lens for it. So. I don't know. I think I want to go check it out when stores open up here again. I might go have a look and just see because it looks like a pretty cool little unit.
Okay.
Reminder, Adam, monthly challenge for February is my hometown. Well, your hometown.
Right.
Like the listener's hometown.
Yeah.
Or a Bruce Springsteen song.
Sure.
You're right. You did get warmed up. Am I not coming anywhere near the plate? That's why you're just taking these?
No, you're just saying stuff that that I don't really have any insight to kind of talk about. Yeah.
It's like, you know how when sometimes you do this like once or twice a week, you just go and just yell into a tin can and then like just nothing comes out. You're like, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's, just a sound trap.
So this reminds me of, you're like, oh man, no wonder that the string isn't hooked up to anything on the other end. Yeah. That's on me.
Yeah. No, that's exactly how this is. But you're saying it as if it's the first time that it's been like that.
No. I love yelling into the void. All right. You must have shot something interesting. What did you shoot anything interesting this week?
You know what?
You put a couple pictures up, man.
Yeah, because there was snow. And I'm actually – we went out to the local park and I took some photos. And
is this the Terra Nova one?
Yeah, so this is Terra Nova. Yeah. I just took a couple of pictures where I was sort of snooping on Jack. He was playing with one of his buddies out in this big – wooden structure. Now I've just kind of shot a piece, like I was hiding behind a tree. I didn't want them to know that that I was taking their photo. I wanted to just capture.
That must have looked good for the locals.
Yeah, whatever, people are busy sledding, nobody cares. But I was kind of like, again, around the tree, because I didn't want them to notice me. The two of them would definitely act differently if they knew their photos were being taken. So right. I took a couple of photos of them just playing. We were out over by the toboggan area, and then they were more interested in kind of, you know, climbing the fort, throwing snowballs at each other. It's an already constructed fort with snow everywhere, so they were having their own little
interaction. This is one I think I have photos of my daughter as a very young girl on this with your daughter.
Probably. It's pretty neat setup. And I remember you saying that this is kind of reminds you of sort of the way that, you know, a lot of the playgrounds in Germany are constructed with the big kind of log wood. And anyway,
definitely the way they're constructed, but no, like in Germany, nowhere near as cool as this one. Like this, okay. this is the creme de la creme, as we say in France, of playgrounds. Like I remember loving that playground because they had just built it on our when we were visiting there with when my daughter was brand new.
Yeah,
it was just finished, the multi-million-dollar playground there.
Oh yeah, up by the airport. Really, yeah, right by the airport, and again, yeah. It's sort of right by the dike. It's a really, really, really pretty, picturesque kind of spot where they decided to build it, and so you got kind of cool backgrounds all around. But anyway, so I took the photo just kind of snooping because I wanted something candid rather than something posed. And so I included two pictures of Jack, one where he's just kind of looking off into the great beyond and one where he's kind of pointing at his friend. They're sort of trash talking each other with as they're throwing snowballs. So this is just an in-between moment of him pointing and just such a cool scenery between the wood, and you've got sort of foreground, middle ground, background with trees and stuff. And so just, you know, just caught him sort of in between all of this stuff going on and just thought, yeah, this is cool. Like this was winter, the snapshot of winter that we had in 2021, February, this captured it for me. So I took a bunch of other photos because, there were some of our other friends. Like I said, the whole community was out at the hill. So I took a few photos of some other people we know so I could send to their parents. But I hadn't gotten around to ask permission for everyone, but I know they'll be permitted. Yeah, I did take a bunch. I just thought I'd just kind of give you a little glimpse into it. I didn't know, how many photos we were going to need to talk about, but, winter came, I took some photos, the end.
Looks great.
Yeah. Now, 70 to 200 on the 60. Yeah. That's what I took. And again, I was going to take the little pocket camera, but then I thought we might only get one day of snow and I don't want to be, I needed something with more reach. I didn't know, like I couldn't have got this photo, without, the 70 to 200 because this is 200 millimeters zoomed all the way in. Like I'm a ways from my kid in here, and then I think
you're
I
still
even
in Steveston, really.
Yeah, I'm still in Steveston, and I cropped the photo as well. So this is one of those situations where I knew I wanted the long reach. So that's what I took.
You could get this with the X100, but from that distance, and then just crop it to those 4 pixels that he's in.
That's right. Yeah,
this is, you know, just crop it. It's the same. The depth of field, everything's the same. Yeah, I was thinking next time that we see each other, we should accidentally swap our 70 to 200 lenses.
Yeah, because yours is having problems, right?
Oh, no, mine's just done. Mine's keeping paper from blowing away.
Okay.
And I don't even take it out anymore.
One photography note is that, like, some of the photos, like, there's a ton of snow falling. Like, I don't know, in this photo, it's not well represented.
If you look close, you can see it.
But in some of the photos, it's crazy how much snow is falling. And so with the 70 to 200, because I shot almost everything, including the pictures of the kids tobogganing and whatnot, there's a zip line. And so I took some photos of people doing that just because it looks cool with the snow. You get a very different feel. Anyways, everything was pretty much at 200 and doing the, because everyone's moving, doing the AF focus or whatever it's called, the servo mode. And so it's problematic. Like, I found that because of the snow falling and what I'm actually grabbing focus of is often a snowflake. And even it could be something that's like 2 inches from the eye and at 200 millimeters, I would say that the miss rate, because I wasn't focus trapping, it was all servo, I would say of being just off of focus or focus on something else around them was way higher than I would have liked. So okay, the ones of my son where he's perched pretty stable were fine. But yeah, the action shots, I was like, just out.
Yep.
And so that part's a little frustrating at 200 millimeters. So snow, take a lot of photos would have been my... my feedback. If you want them to be really sharp on the eye in this scenario, not easy.
Now, that's kind of where the technology is going in the newer cameras, because that 60 is pretty old. I mean, still great. I wouldn't get rid of it. But that's where a lot of the technology is really excelling in the brand new cameras, is that eye, focusing on the eye and tracking subjects and not being distracted by snow. Not where I'm going to spend my money if I already have a camera, but if I don't have a camera, what a great time to buy a camera.
Right.
How did you meter?
Who?
You. How did you meter this? Like snow's falling, you want to get an image. AV, manual, how'd you decide?
Again, I thought briefly about the AV like you talked about, and then quickly just went back to manual, only because... Here's how I work. You know the top dial on my camera?
Uh-huh.
Like the piece that shows you where every mode is?
I do.
Yeah, that piece is gone. I haven't had that for about 2 years.
Right.
So I would have had to take 33 more seconds to figure out exactly where AV was.
Uh-huh.
So I just stayed on manual.
You remind me a little bit of me and my crock pot. Because the knob broke off the crock pot. Crock pot still works, but there's no knob. So I actually have to get pliers and go and pop it to the different settings and guess which setting it's on. So I hear you. spaghetti and meatball still taste good, though.
And I know that the bulb setting is just one over, but right, I'm not sure which direction AV is, so it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. I would just leave it then. I would not mess with it. Now, but when you got your manual exposure, how did you meter? What was your move?
This probably isn't the technical way to do it, but I just went off of his face rather than the snow.
Oh, okay.
I just went for where the skin tones were normal. So,
okay.
That's it. Just chimped it. I just took a shot and then went, oh, okay. Cause I wanted, they were moving around for the most part rather than this photo. He's static, but he didn't stay static for more than 11 seconds. So they're moving around and chasing each other and whatnot. So I had like I want to say 125th of 100 seconds. So I'm at 2500 or 1/3200 for almost all the photos I took. So within that, I'm basically just playing with the ISO. I didn't really move a couple of times I played with the aperture slightly. I'm mostly around an F4 because that's the wide open side of that lens, and then maybe up to an F5, but I'm more playing around with the ISO to give me my exposure rather than fiddle with those other settings. Cause I want the fast, they're moving around. And I also want, I really want the background blur. So yeah, uh-huh. I really only have one setting to play with.
All right. So it looks like the ISO was around 1,000 on these.
Yeah, pictures. For this one. Because this is also the darkest area of the park because it's completely covered by trees.
Right.
So as much snow, and you'd think, okay, that snow's really reflecting. But at that, you know, shutter speed with trees completely covering that in, it does create, well, you see how even the light is, right?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So it's shaded. This is shaded. Yeah.
All right. So I shot a bunch of photos as well. So we'll try to kind of blast through them.
Blast.
Oh yeah. No, we'll spend 40 minutes on both of yours and then, and then we'll just blow through. No, I shot a lot with the X100 because I found that it performs, like, it was very cold out. Not very cold. The middle of the day, we'd go out, it'd be like minus 10 or something like that. And would warm up to like minus fives in that zone. But you know, when you take your older camera, like the 40D goes out there, you get about three fires on that one, three images, and then the battery's dead.
Right. The battery's not good. Yeah.
No, but the X100, I could tell it wasn't performing as normal, but it was still doing a fantastic job. And just the clarity and the way the colors and, you know, again, this is an ad for Fuji, but this camera is so good. That's why I wouldn't say I'm even considering the XE4. I have my eye on it, like a 25%. If I accidentally find $1,000 in the sofa cushions,
right?
I might buy one.
Okay.
Just as a walk around, but it's only because of this. It's got the same sensor as the X100 V, I think. Mine's the F, which is fantastic. The F should stand for fantastic. Your S should stand for super, because it is super. They're all great, okay? So that's why I wanted to showcase this. Like, so here's just my son smiling, getting ready to do some sledding. He's very excited. And then a nice black and white shot of my daughter. Love the black and white images out of this camera.
Yeah, no, it looks good.
There you go. And then they had some nice evening light. And this is where this thing really shines. Look at the colors on my daughter and my wife's face.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, that's probably the nicest of the bunch, I think.
I'm really happy with this. I mean, obviously, you know, you probably could have got a good shot with your phone at this hour.
Yeah, the light's just that good.
It is. But here's the thing. So while this was happening, the next shot, there's my son. One of the kids on the hill brought some sort of a little foamy board that he had. Like it's a sledding thing. You hold on to those handles and you lay on it and you go down the hill.
Yeah, there were a lot of those out at the park that we saw.
Okay, so you see my son running up the hill with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided, Dad, I would like to be a snowboarder now. And so he rode it down the hill.
Sure. Why not?
So he loved it. Just thought that was the greatest. And so my wife, luckily, the next day was able to track down an actual kid's snowboard.
Sweet.
So there he is getting buckled up, figured out how to do his own bindings up. And then day one, riding the snowboard.
Cool.
Kablamo. Kid loves it. He's in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I even shot a video for you to watch if you'd like.
Yay. I can't wait.
You're not going to. This is like my son's fifth run down the hill.
Right.
Are you watching it?
No.
No. Okay. I'll post it online. I was proud of him. I was proud of the kid.
Good job, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
And then what else happened?
I'm pretty sure that there was a chimp in a movie called MVP that also could ride a snowboard, but slightly better than your kid. Yeah.
I'm guessing that was filmed in Vancouver too.
Probably.
No, those all were filmed. Like, I think a bunch of guys from my film school worked in those movies.
Nice. So the the chimp. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's the Air Bud ones.
Right.
Those are all filmed. My bunch of my buddies worked on those. They said, yeah, it was pretty much Shakespeare, but with chimps. It was like if Scorsese was made a movie, but instead he had chimps.
That's right.
Or orangutans. I don't know. Yeah. Now who's the racist, Adam? You are.
Yeah, I should have said orangutans because that's offensive.
Like the one in Any Which Way But Loose. Good enough for Clint Eastwood. Good enough for me, buddy.
Okay.
All right. And then my son liked. So here's the kicker. Here's when you're when. So we're at the toboggan hill out behind our house and near our house. And then so my son wants to do the the snowboarding. Well, you know what that means? There's no T-bar there. It's just the dad bar.
Hoof it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't hoof it. You don't go down and unclip and then hoof it up and clip back in. That'll take forever. So that means your dad runs down the hill with you and then pushes you up the hill so you can go down again.
Wow, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, go back to the opening of our show, and I told you my hammies are trashed. That is why. That's why I need the hamstring transplant that we talked about.
Gotcha. Yeah,
from pushing him up the hill about a million times.
Yeah, got it. Know what? Maybe he'll tell that story when he wins fifth place at the snowboarding halfpipe competition.
Yeah.
And he's not going to get first. Let's be honest. Come on. He's got your genetics. But fifth.
Is it first place? If it's amongst his buddies, I think he's got a good shot.
Okay. I was thinking the Olympic Federation maybe like the German National Snowboarding Championships.
Who's your favorite German national snowboarder?
Sam.
Yeah, obviously. He's already a front runner. I don't see why. While he was doing this, and this is not even a joke, while he was doing this, one of the kids from one of his buddies was at the top of the hill watching a movie on his dad's iPhone.
Nice. Yeah.
So
learning. He's skipping a step, learning how to best snowboard. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't watching the X Games, I'll tell you that. I'm pretty sure, unless Paw Patrol is doing snowboarding tricks, I'm guessing. That got judgmental right there.
Super judgy. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, that's the trash. That's the trashed hamstrings. So my son would he would do a bunch of runs and then go down and then do some tobogganing as well, bobsledding. And so him and my daughter decided to go up into the forest and come ripping down. So that's what these shots are.
Yeah, you know, from a photography standpoint, these are probably my favorite, except for here's the interesting thing, and maybe you can comment on this as well, but just looking at the two photos, the one of your daughter and one of your son, so the angle is slightly different. So you got lower and sort of shot more upward at your daughter, mm-hmm. so you're kind of more ground level, much better photo. Not even
I close think so too. Me.
Yeah.
So the one with my son was taken in their first run, and it was frustrating because it was actually like his best, like the look on his face and the Guy Lafleur hair flowing in behind. I was gonna say Rod Langway or Ron Duguay? I think maybe Guy Lafleur.
Sure.
Okay. I was seeing where your preference was.
Langway snaps, Langway guess. had Guy Lafleur like hair, I'm pretty sure, at a point.
Closer. Ron Duguay, his was a bit more Welcome Back Cotter, but here's what happened is there's a couple people hiking. Like a family of four hiking in this shot, and we let them go by, but then they wanted to see my son go down the hill, so they basically stood right over his head, like right behind there, and just stared. It was distracting, and they wouldn't leave. Okay. And so he went, and so it was kind of a weird angle, but a great look on his face. And I had to Photoshop them out. Like, I put trees in over top of them.
Nice. Oh, okay. Because, I can kind of figure out where it would have been now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah, it's not awesome. I mean, I did a kind of a rudimentary job, but I was really sour. I was like, hey, why don't you keep on walking? That would be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Das was wieder laufen, bitte. Mm-hmm. That's how I would have said it. Although, I would have said du, except there was four of them, and I should have said z.
And if I didn't see the photo of your daughter, I would have said that the one of your son is good. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But just that good. Hey, this is a photography podcast.
Yeah.
It looks better when you're lower like this, and then
no, it does.
It brings her head into the trees, not just over the snow. Like it looks better, and it feels like you're in the action more so than the angle. We've talked about that in the past, but this is a good example of that.
Definitely get down low. I mean, I thought in the first one, I thought I was low enough. And here's the thing: is in this situation, I do have a shot of my son from this lower angle as well. But the look on his face and the exact position he was in, this image was the best. So I had to forego. I was like, all right, well, yeah, I would have preferred him to be against the background of the trees, but it's the best of this one, but I do have one. And this one is the best one of my daughter with all the snow kind of flying up behind her.
Yeah, head. That little spray of snow really pops too, so it looks good, yeah.
And this is the 1 millisecond where she's not being a complete wuss and she's pulling her feet up. Normally she's dragging her feet, slowing down, whereas right, my son right. is just, yeah, breaks her. Breaks her not for me, Dad.
Right.
So there's that. But this was shot with the what was it, 24-105.
Okay.
Which is, yeah. I would have used the 70-200 if it focused, which it does not.
Okay.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Last couple. Yeah, I went out today. We've like I said, we've had such a cold snap that I was hoping against hope that the Onlagasi, the little lake pond in the middle of town, the old town, would be frozen over, which it was. So we packed up the skates, went out for a skate today, and not thick enough.
Right. You fell through.
I did not fall through. I would have fallen through. Pre-COVID, probably not. Probably wouldn't have fallen through. Probably would have weighed a little bit less and been okay. But you can see there's nobody out there for good reason. It was close. I probably could have got across, but you don't want to be the guy in the newspaper.
No, probably good call.
In this case, and they would have
sit this one out, yeah.
Yeah. Famous podcaster, they would have named the podcast, and they probably would have blamed you more than anything.
Yeah.
but there's a shot of that. And then the sign, obviously, which you translate the sign for us, Adam.
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Attention, life danger.
Life
ice,
danger.
Ice surface not tread upon.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what that says. I would translate it differently, but that's the literal translation.
Okay.
All right, great. So that's where we caught up. That was a week of photos, man. Let's get into the photo challenge. Separation light. Because I figured you might be in the cage again and figured, oh, you're going to shoot some separation light.
Didn't go to the cage this weekend. We're going to go today, but we didn't go prior to this for me to shoot a photo.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, no cage photo. I had that thought in my mind as well, but maybe next time. We'll see.
All right. Well, I was trying to throw you a softball. So, all right. Which one are you using? Your wife or your son?
I'll use my son. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because your wife, that looks like a trial separation right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like she's thinking, what have I done?
Yeah. 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 I wanted to include it because Valentine's Day, and I needed to post a picture of my wife. But she wasn't selling it. She wasn't really selling the baseball was her life moment. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not it's not baseball at all. The only thing baseball is the glove.
Yeah, I know. I had to include the glove in there. So, yeah, she was pondering her next pitch.
Whose glove is that?
That's my, slow pitch glove.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. It's gigantic.
Yeah, the shape is terrible. So I was worried it was your son's glove.
No, it's not his. But I've had that for 20 years. I don't know. I don't even know that I bought it. I think someone gave it to me.
Right.
Yeah, that's where my baseball career has been, man. So
who wants a free Wilson? Here you go.
Yeah, don't judge my glove. So my son, my wife, we kind of did a stand-in for the light, and then he came upstairs, and I said, "Okay, I need it."
I love that your wife has to do a stand-in.
I need a quick shot here. So,
hey, tell your son, hey Jack, you feel like eating dinner tonight?
Yeah, too bad he'd already eaten. I didn't have that one to play. But he obliged, and I said, just give me a tough guy face and don't look at the camera. And I think we took 4 snaps, and this is the one I arrived on. So I used 2 separation lights. That they're both purely for separation, but I've got one behind him camera left, and I got one behind him and up high camera right. I'm trying to light the hat, because what I thought this was going to double as my wife's the social media person for the Richmond Chuckers, so she's always looking for content of stuff to throw up. So I really wanted to highlight the hat. So I was kind of 2 birds with 1 stone. I thought I'm gonna really downplay who this is, just kind of player X, and I'm gonna highlight the hat. So that's kind of what I was going for. And so I used 2 lights, both gelled with one's got a full CTO. That's the one on his right camera left, and then one that's got like a quarter CTO that shows up almost in comparison more blue, It does, and,
yeah.
And then I used, just to give him a little bit of, like, throw catch lights in his eyes, I used the LED, like, ring light thing, just nice and close. So, black background, mm-hmm. and then I just kind of was positioning them to trace his outline. So, I get, you know, each light catches his hat, each light catches his shoulders and neck, and then it just really pops him from the background in a 3D way. And then just out of frame the ring light to give his catch lights in his eyes and just to bring up the shadows. Otherwise his face would be completely dark in shadow,
which would be okay if you're going to go anonymous though,
which is fine. But I didn't want it to be that for the photo challenge. I would have gone with that if it was just for the website, but not for the photo challenge. I thought it would just be a little bit too dark. So here we go. I went somewhere in between.
I think this one would be okay with him looking at the camera.
It might. I did have one with him looking at the camera that I thought looked okay. It changes the shadows as well, which, again, to season to taste, I don't know. This is not a Rembrandt, but I did think it was an example of the separation light.
Yeah. It's fine. Does he have a Chuckers jersey at home, or do they keep that and he would get that?
No. Yeah. You only get shirts. Like, he has a shirt, okay. But this is actually, I use this cause this is also like the strength and conditioning program we're doing. It's called the program, the bottom, mm-hmm. like just James underneath Conn, that.
I know it.
Just underneath that says baseball training. So yeah, it's the program baseball training. So it was a baseball training shirt to go with the Chuckers hat. So yeah, I was happy with this ensemble. Plus I like the way the red works here in terms of the color separation from the background.
I think you have something here. This isn't in your top 10.
No, not even close. But I do like how the hat
looks.
You were
worried, like, oh shit, like this is a coin toss for my top 10.
Yeah.
It's not.
I like the hat. The way the hat works with the two lights, like, just again, these are two hard lights. And so one catches back of hat, ear, side of the face. And then the other one, really, I love how the light works on the hat. So yeah, you're right. Like, if I could, and I really like how his shirt and the shirt pops from the background. It's just, I would have had to play for another 10 minutes to get exactly what I want from the shadows in the face. And that was not going to happen. But I agree. I'm like, okay, if I redid this with someone who is compliant and I had some time, I might be able to really make something super cool here. But as it is, it's like, all right, I'm halfway there. But keep in mind, this was done very, and just the subtlety of 5 degrees of head turn in one direction completely changes this photo when you're doing hard lights like this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the shadows are everything. So as it is, I'm like, the best of the three photos I took.
When this nonsense is over,
yeah,
which I'm assuming it's going to be over at some point. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. You need to completely ice him out and your daughter too. And I will do the same with my kids. I'm going to ice them out entirely and just take pictures of their friends and teammates. Like, nope, sorry.
I don't think my kids would care. They're like, all right,
absolutely, they would care.
I don't know.
If you're withholding, oh my, you could play some mind games on your son here about, well, no, you're too fat to be in this picture. Like, just give him a complex, which clearly he's not, but you could give him a complex anyway.
Okay.
So, yeah, Travis over here, he wants it more.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he has a friend named Travis. I'm sure he has a friend named everyone.
No,
has a friend
no
named
Travis's.
Travis.
No.
There's all
no
right. Travis. It's because he shot the dog. Is that why?
Okay. Maybe. That's you fine. Tell us about your photo.
All right. So I had one lined up. So here's the one that was about to make it. I wanted to use a natural separation light. And so I shot a photo of my daughter. We're out for a walk and there's a whole bunch of people sledding, blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of a weird. I didn't love the background, kind of that sort of the way the snow kind of falls away in some of the grass parts, etc. But I love the time of day and that separation light on her head. And I kind of like it just sort of as a snapshot photo. And again, X100 doing its thing.
Sure.
That
looks
That good. Was my challenge. Right up until 18 seconds before we hit record on this show.
While you're talking, I'm just watching the video of your son snowboarding. Yeah, he's not as good as the chimp. Just that's
what no, the chimp. The chimp can get air, and the chimp is animatronic. To be fair,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No,
go back to what you were saying.
Have you ever been snowboarding?
No, not ever.
Okay, so I'm going to get you to go out there and record your first day at it. Like, it may, okay, third run of the day down that thing. I'm going to get you to record yours, and we'll just A and B them. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. There's that. Now, so 18 seconds, I think, was what I said before we hit record on this. I look over, and my daughter is painting my son's face because it is the aforementioned fashing time, which normally would be a big parade and everybody. It's German Halloween, but it's in February. Okay, and so normally, but it's all been canceled or whatever. And we would actually be skiing. We would be skiing this week, in the Alps there. And but that got canceled as well. And so my daughter was painting my son's face, and I thought, oh boy, I gotta photograph this. And so I quickly threw together a setup, and I shot the one called "Why So Serious." Does he not scare you a little bit?
Yeah, no, it's super creepy. I feel like you need one blue tear on one of those cheeks. You choose. You pick which cheek. But no, this is super creepy, and I don't think I can look at it anymore.
Imagine if at 3 a.m. you just woke up and he was right in your face.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing nightmares are made of.
I'm going to send this to your wife and get her to print a life-size one and wear it as a mask. And then when you wake up tonight, wham, there it is. Yeah. And she's going to say, "Why so serious?" Yeah. Right in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But however, what I did like, I think this is awesome because he's just not happy with me taking this picture either. I don't know why, because it looks pretty cool. But this was I found a sort of a widget, a dongle adapter, some sort of a piece of a hardware that fits on top of a light stand that allows you to use a boom across.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Adapt it so basically what this is is a flash directly overhead without the stand being in the shot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I have not used it. I don't know where this came from. It just showed up in my box because I told you cleaning out my attic, that awesome story the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This just showed up and I thought, oh my, I could use this. And so I wanted to put it to use, and that's what's lighting up his hair. So it's almost directly over top, hitting the top of his head, the back of his hair, and then his shoulders a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
So this will be getting a lot more use, and hope you don't sleep tonight.
Okay.
Enjoy that. All right, topic this week. I wanted to ask you something, Adam.
Okay. Is this topic going to be less than 3 minutes?
We're not at an hour yet.
We're almost.
No. We've been recording for 48 minutes.
Yeah, that's a long time to not get to the topic. Come on.
Okay.
You can do it.
You're right. Where does your son get his impatience from? I can't even tell. He must be adopted. Yeah. He must look at you and be like, all right, I'm going to be super impatient, and that's the haircut I look forward to.
Okay. All right.
I better lock something down quick with the ladies. like my dad did.
That's right.
Yeah. Should we keep going on this?
No. Okay. Hey, I know, because this will be an hour six before we get to the topic.
Okay, so I want you to be the client for a minute. Well, for 10 minutes. You can do 10 minutes of being the client, maybe.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. The worst, right? Well, you were the client one time. Well, you want it. You're a vendor. I would like everybody – I would like to help people be a better vendor, meaning a better photographer and what you sell and et cetera. So a friend of mine is getting married later this year. And has asked me for some advice on finding a photographer.
Okay.
Now, I'm invited to the wedding. Otherwise, I'm sure it'd be me. Or maybe it wouldn't be me. I don't know. No clue.
You know, he said, find a good photographer.
Yeah. We don't mind spending some money on a good one. sure, you can come and pretend to snap photos if you like.
Does your podcast partner have anything to do on July the 15th?
Yeah. It's in August, so you could make it. If we're flying internationally, you could probably pop over.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's here in Germany. So that's the other thing too. It's like it's a different world. Like for example, if he was getting married in Vancouver, and I would just say, well, you phone Amber and hope and book and basically plan your wedding around her availability.
Sure.
Friend of the show, Amber Hughes. I think she's fantastic. So
yeah, she's better than me.
Yeah. So
Don't call me.
If you were well, guess who shot your wedding? Me. I did.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, there we go. So what would you look for, considering that I shot your wedding, and let me just say, I shot yours on film.
Mm-hmm.
I shot yours. Do you know how much you paid? Do you remember how much you paid?
I think I paid for, like, the film.
The film. You did. Yeah. Which is fine with me. I was not looking for anything else.
I think we paid you to do the slideshow.
Was there a slideshow?
Yeah, you made a slideshow for our wedding. Yeah.
Okay. That is possible. Like I said, I'm not here trying to collect some money. No.
We definitely paid you for that, and then we didn't pay you for the photos. But to be honest, right. you weren't really good. So
No, I was. Yeah. I was good. I wasn't established though.
No. Yeah. No. You were okay.
Uh huh.
And you were free, so the price was right.
There you go. That's the rub there, isn't it? It's
so okay. What's your buddy looking for? Free? No, he's willing to pay.
No, they're looking for a photographer, and so I'm trying to find out where I have a conversation, but where does it go? Okay. So he got in touch. So what I want to know is what is it that you would look for? Like if you were getting married today, which I sort of did the math on your because you got married in 2005, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I shot it on film, because you got married like a year too early in terms of the technology, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because if you'd hired someone, and you probably would have got a film photographer in 2005, there were digital photographers. You could have found somebody who would have shot with a 1D or a 1D Mark II. I Googled this to make sure they were out then. And those are retailing for around $5,000, probably higher, probably around $6,000 plus in Canada, just for the body. For an 8-megapixel camera that, even though it went to ISO 1600, you shouldn't put it over 400. Like, it was just not great, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 20D, the Canon 20D was out then, and I've actually shot with that camera one time. Not terrible, but still expensive at around 1500 US just for the body. And so I think the big leap in digital photography for me, in my mind, happened in August of 2005, and that's when the original 5D was released, right?
Yeah.
And that's a camera, like I shoot with that today. So that's something I would shoot with. I would happily shoot your wedding with.
I shot your sister's wedding with that camera, or most of it. Some there was a few shots from the other camera, but
I used
the 5D Classic was a vast majority of the photos from your sister's wedding.
Ah, and she hated them.
Yeah. Yeah.
She loved them, and that's a good point. That's an excellent point. That
what year was that? What year was her wedding?
2015 maybe.
There you go. 5D still. Shooting weddings.
Yeah, no, I would definitely bring mine to a wedding. It wouldn't be my primary camera at this point due to reliability issues, but you're going to get some of your keepers from that camera. So, but just prior to that, like I shot the video for your, stay with me on this one, your brother-in-law's brother. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. His wedding, and that was, I forget when he got married, it probably would have been around, same as you, maybe a little bit, a year earlier possibly.
Okay.
And I remember asking the photographer, who was shooting digital at the time, which nobody was doing, I remember asking him, hey, are you shooting digital? And he got very defensive. His answer was, only the best for these folks, as if I was trying to impugn him, which I might have been doing, I don't know.
Yeah, usually that's what you do, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what impugn means. So it was if I was doing
something bad, you were doing something bad.
Yeah. I pushed him down the stairs. Whatever,
yeah.
Get over it. So, anyways, point being, back then it was more so you didn't have those questions to ask about. Hey, what camera do you use? Because you didn't care. You're like, all right, here's the film. Get good film, and make sure it's in focus. Sometimes that was your move.
Yeah,
What would you ask today? Knowing what you know now, what would be your concerns? Or I could just tell you what I said and you can just...
Sure. Let's hear what you said. Let's expedite this. Yeah.
So here's what I look for in a wedding photographer is, first off, it's somebody who's skilled with the equipment, which seems kind of obvious, but it isn't always, you know? So I find that to be difficult to sort of ascertain when you meet with them. But I would expect them to be able to operate their cameras from muscle memory. I don't want them fidgeting with buttons.
How do you ascertain this?
I don't know. I just said it would be difficult to ascertain.
Yeah, but like this isn't realistic.
Show me how to change ISO quick. How do you change ISO?
Yeah, yeah. What's your favorite ISO? Like when the NBA does its draft or insert any sport and they have the players come in and do a workout, you want to bring your camera guy in and then you want to work him out. Or her.
Yeah, you have a combine. Yeah. Well, it's funny. You say or her. Here's where I'm extremely sexist, man. I would lean towards a female photographer for weddings.
Okay.
Now this is not based on gender. This is based on my experience. The number of weddings I've been to and like videoed. I've been to a lot of weddings, and my experience on the day. I didn't see all the end photos. Might have sucked. Who knows? But on the day, my best experiences, I would say 75-25 lean towards female photographers.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I don't know if they have a better connection with the bride, which is kind of what drives the wedding, I find. I mean, it wasn't like who planned the bulk of your wedding? I mean, I know you helped, I'm sure. But
no,
yeah.
Not really. I didn't really help much. Yeah, it was of mostly my wife. Yeah.
Show up, make sure your tie's tied, and go from there.
Yeah.
No, that's a little bit overdoing it, but there is a certain, like, there is a certain, I guess, weighs heavily towards what the women want to do, in this case, the brides want to do.
I can only speak to my own situation, and my wife did the bulk of the work, but I'm not going to be sexist and say that that's how everyone's done, that's how ours was done.
Yeah, but to say everyone is done like that, that would just be stupid, not sexist.
Right.
You're an idiot.
True. Just like, but that's kind of, that's also, I mean, I guess in our relationship here with the podcast, you're also doing all the planning. So same thing.
True.
Yeah, that's just me.
And that's more, that's sexier, not sexist.
Right.
Now, okay. So we'll get to, I think I mentioned actually women later in this. That was one of the things, but things I look for. So that was the first one, muscle memory. Do they know their camera? If they don't, it's a red flag. It's like, all right, well, they're not really in this. And not to say they can't take good pictures, but it's you know, their price should reflect that. Next is understand the basics. And that's like composition, like how to frame a shot, exposure and focus, like just the basics, because that's what you want to get on the day. You don't want stuff that's poorly framed and blown out and out of focus. Those would be terrible.
Right.
I feel like I'm pointing out the obvious, but if you're not a photographer, you don't know. You honestly don't know what you don't know. Next up, be a storyteller. And to me, this is the wheat from the chaff category. I think you want somebody who understands like the key moments of the day. And the basics are kind of universal. Like what do you remember what the basic moments of the day were? Every day, almost every wedding.
Okay, well, you're gonna have like the get the makeup and the getting ready part, right?
Okay, that's not really a moment. That's more of a long.
But those are the typical things that the wedding photographers shoot. So they're gonna be that, and then there's obviously gonna be like, you know, the aisle, right? So the moments where you know, the bride comes down the aisle, and then the groom is kind of, you know, watching at the front. So you're going to get all of those moments, and then you're going to get obviously the rings, and when they make the exchanges, maybe a funny laugh while they're up at the altar.
And then you mentioned the dad giving the daughter away.
Sure, but that's part of the aisle stuff. So you've got
To be fair, that doesn't happen as much anymore. Like I guess that is considered sexist, so it doesn't happen all the time. However, I find that to be a very big moment. Like it's a very emotional moment.
And the first dance and
the first day, yeah.
The bouquet.
That happens less and less now too, actually.
Okay. All right.
That the garter definitely happens almost never.
Okay.
I was looking back through your photos, as a matter of fact. Yours happened.
What's that?
The garter happened at your wedding.
Sure. I think it happened at your sister's too, I think. I can't.
Possibly.
Yeah. But yeah. Definitely like the first dance, the father-daughter dance is always good. The first dance with the bride and the groom. And then like the party stuff, right? Like just the party shot. So I think that encompasses most of it. I did shoot someone's wedding where I one of my favorite moments, and again, I don't know if this happens, you know, in all weddings, but it's certainly in this one, it was like the moment that she arrived at the church. So she was getting out of the limo at the church in her bridal gear, and I loved that photo. Like, and then yeah. And she was actually getting greeted again by her groom, which maybe you don't do before the wedding, depending on how superstitious you are. But that moment of just getting out of the car to the church with the husband waiting is one of my favorite all-time wedding moments, thinking like, if I was doing this for a living, I might do that. I might just make a habit of doing that.
You would make a habit. You wouldn't get it every time, but that is an excellent example of good storytelling. And that's recognizing what happens in the moment and thinking, oh, okay, so you have your list of six things like that happen at basically every wedding. You get those, and then you be malleable and ready to recognize other quote unquote stories that happened. You should see those and shoot those. You're not going to get all of them, but you should get a number of them. Next up, invisibility. This one is huge for me.
It's like me in the trees taking pictures of the kids.
Less
wait,
creepy.
Wait. Yeah, less creepy version.
Yeah.
Of my own child.
Yeah, well, they don't know.
Let's just specify, yeah.
Well, but at any event, but especially a wedding, I do my very best to make sure I'm not seen or heard. I want to blend in, because if you don't blend in, you will affect the moment. You will have an effect on it, like you shooting your kids. You know, they see you and they behave accordingly.
Right.
And so if you're part of, you should not be part of the ceremony. You should be able to get close enough and shoot it and document it and tell the story without being part of it. It's very important. Until it's time for the posed photo session, and then you want somebody who is taking charge, who knows exactly what to do, right or wrong. Make decisions. Okay, over here, let's do this. Boom, boom, boom. Somebody who just really can drive the ship. And that's about, they probably leave an hour for that, maybe a little bit less, maybe a bit more, depends. So for that 1 hour, you're very, very visible, and the rest you just blend in. Creativity. What about creativity? What's your thoughts on that?
We like it.
In what way, though? Like, I was very specific. I want to hear, what do you think about especially for a wedding, but in general, creativity.
You mean just like, you know, someone who's going to hire the photographer. I would, if this is somebody that, you know, is going to shoot my wedding, I would be happy with them being as, you know, creative in whatever way they want. I don't want the cookie cutter exactly what everyone else does. I would be happy with creative license to the photographer.
Okay.
Is that what we're talking about? Or you're saying you want... Yeah.
Okay. I want to know what you're looking for. I can't tell you what you're looking for.
Well, but that's the thing, is that I think most people nowadays are probably scouting the website of their proposed photographer. And so they're already have chosen a photographer based on a certain style or a creative license that they see in that photographer's photos. So I'm choosing based on that. So I would look at, like, if you look at Amber Hughes's website and look at some of the photos, like there's a lot of very non-traditional, I mean, really cool looking shots. And so if I'm choosing her as my photographer, I'm like, go nuts, like do what you do because you're good.
Yeah, but she's a rarity in that, because like if you look at her photos, they are amazing. But you don't look at her photos and think, oh, Amber, you're the best. You think, what a great photo. What a great moment. And so she's creative within those confines of a wedding, and she's not being creative just to be creative. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you're not carrying around, I don't know, panes of glass and then just whipping them out and going, oh, this is them through glass or something. You know, she's not trying to make a statement about her.
Yeah.
She is being as creative as possible that's to service the bride and groom or bride and bride or groom and groom. She shot all kinds. But to the two people getting married, everything she does, if you look at her images, they are in service of that moment. And it's never about her, which when you get to that level, there's very few people who can do that. A lot of people, you want someone who can handle the base. I want someone who can handle the basics, be creative, but then not just trying to make a name for themselves on my back.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that's basically the gist of it. Like that's what I look for in a photographer. And the rest is, you know, are they friendly? You don't want somebody who's going to be a sourpuss on the day. Because they're going to be with you, you know, during the day and bringing things down. Hopefully not. You want them to be a value add to the day. Most wedding photographers are. It's kind of a weird gig like that. Like everyone's pretty positive. So then look at pricing and what they deliver and get, you know, figure out what the deliverables are. And then the one note I made,
Did you just say the one note you make?
The one goofy note, I don't know. What do you, how many notes you make? Zero.
I just wondering just about the one note again.
A note I made at the end, which I sort of made in jest because my buddy, he sent me a few websites to look at, like of people they were considering. And I said, okay, well, I like this one better than this one. I said, I guess this one's more expensive. And he's like, yeah, you're right. But one of them, ones that they were very good, it was a husband and wife team. And I said, mostly joking, half joking, not really joking at all, I'm generally skeptical about husband and wife teams because why would you want to do that? Would you want to do that with your wife every Saturday, go out and shoot a wedding?
No, I don't think she would. I don't think she would enjoy it either.
No.
I love my wife, but I just think that, doing this all the time would be tricky.
So I'm skeptical, and that's my own hang up. I'll be completely honest with you.
Yeah,
because I also love my wife, but I love my wife knows 6 days a week.
I would get frustrated, and yeah,
exactly. So anytime I see people doing that, I'm like, wow, you guys, there's something weird there. You can't be good. Now, the one
my
they
wife
sent
will
me,
only help me for an hour doing any photography related tasks usually.
That's well, your wife's like also not a photographer. Like
that's
like
also the cutoff, though. Like, because she knows, like, I'm a little finicky. Yeah, no, she knows better.
Yeah, no, my wife is the same. She knows not to help you. So
yeah.
Oddly, I did say, like, I had to admit that the website they sent, that their pictures look fantastic. So, and they're both photographers. So it's not just a wife helping a husband or a husband helping a wife. They're both photographers, which is even weirder to me.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. So that's how you be a client to help you be a better vendor. Understand what you would want for a wedding and reverse engineer it. But don't just do it for a wedding. Figure it out, whatever side hustle you're on. Figure out what you would want and try to deliver that. Over deliver. That's
okay.
It.
Great.
All right. Monthly challenge for February is my hometown. Your hometown. My hometown. Hashtag that. Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. And we'll talk about that at the beginning of March. Challenge for next week, Adam. You pick one. I feel bad because I've tried to tee one up for you and you didn't love it.
This was nowhere close to teeing it up for me.
No, but based on what you had been shooting, I thought it was going to be a teed up.
Yeah.
Now I understand it wasn't.
Yeah.
Now what? Now what
simple.
Are we doing?
I just want simple.
Simple.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Okay. We'll do simple, but we're gonna be kind of unsimple about it. We're gonna call it Einfach.
Oh, come on.
It's Einfach.
I don't know what that is.
Simple. It means simple. I feel like I was pretty much right out there. Or no, that's it. We'll do simple, but yours has to be good. Here's the deal. If yours isn't a good photo, I'm going to light you up for 30 plus minutes.
Well, is that different than any of the other podcasts?
I feel like I kid gloves you all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Simple. All
right. Simple. Websites. People can still just go to your Adam Two Hosers Instagram, right?
Sure.
I even, this is the first week I took you off the webpage. Like I always forgot. Like I always forget and just leave it in the link to your page that doesn't exist. I took it off this week. You're gone.
Yeah, it's probably porn now, that site, whatever that, whoever took that over. Yeah.
Let's assume so.
Okay.
Yeah. They're just piggybacking off your fame. Mm-hmm. All right. You can find mine at alanatridge.com. The two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.